You're listening to Engage with Andy Bush. To connect with the program today, please send an email to andrew.bush@comcast.net. That's andrew.bush@comcast.net. Now, back to this week's program.
Welcome back. You're listening to Engage, and we've got USA Swimming's national team director, Frank Bush, with us. Frank, how exciting is it to have Phelps back? I mean, when did you learn that he was coming back, and how did that change things for you?
You know, Andy, I would have bet my house and everything else that I own that Michael was not going to make a comeback.
Why did you say that? Just because he had accomplished so much, and it was like, where could he go from here? Is that why you thought that?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
22 medals, 18 of them gold. What's next?
And, right.
Now that he's come back and we've spent time talking about it, and he's not all the way back yet. I'd put money on the fact that he's going to be on our team in Rio, but he's not going to go to the games unless he's a player.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way he's just going to make the team to say I made another Olympic team. He's all about I'm on the podium and I'd like to be on the highest point of the podium.
Well, does he have enough time to regain his elite conditioning before the time trial? When are your time trials, by the way?
The Olympic trials are in July of 16. We've got plenty of time.
Okay, good. And, you know, what's interesting, just to make a point about this, you know, and you mentioned the World Cup just recently, and the decision to leave Landon Donovan off that team, I think, is really to your point, right? Unless you're at that elite level in which you're really contributing to the team, you're not going to be put on that team.
No way. And you can... It's nice to be sentimental and emotional, but that does not happen at the highest level of anything.
Right.
Highest level of business, highest level
no
of
doubt.
Sport.
Great point.
It doesn't happen. And allegiance only goes so far. And because because if you lead your life by that, when you get into the world of competitive business, competitive sport, you're not going to keep your job very long.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's very true. I mean, you can be sentimental to a point, right? And that's great for having honorary degrees and things like that. But, you know, if the goal is to win, just like you said, I want my kid to beat your kid. That's the mantra.
Oh, sure. And loyalty to being able to be loyal to individuals and to send them off in the right way and to praise them for their past accomplishments. That's culture, that's tradition, that's important. But it's not when it's like trying to put somebody out there, you know, on the mound on the seventh game of the World Series that's not prepared for that. And you're going to say, well, we owe it to him because he gave 20 years of his life to the great game of baseball. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, I mean, clearly Phelps' return is going to be phenomenal for the TV ratings, and hopefully he makes your team and will continue to drive interest in the sport. You know, I think down the road he'll be a great ambassador for it. However, there's a bit of a downside for up-and-coming swimmers. As the new guys aren't competing for two spots per event, I mean, maybe just one with Phelps if he gets back to his elite level. You know, as a coach, how do you keep your new guys, I mean, these new young guys that you got coming on, you know, excited and motivated? Because it's so different now. These swimmers don't leave the sport. You know, 20 years ago, Rowdy Gaines was 25. He was the third oldest guy on the team. Now Phelps and Lotke are like in their late 20s. You know, and it really changes the dynamic because you have people competing longer, and so it kind of boxes out some of the younger guys coming in.
Without question, and the average age of our team in London was 20 on the men's side was 25 years 2 months. On the women's side, it was roughly 22 years. So, our team is the majority of our team is made up of postgraduate athletes.
Mm-hmm.
So. Before the developmental league, so to speak, might have been high school to develop them for college, which was the age of which most of our kids were on the Olympic teams. But that's since changed. We now have a very strong pro aspect of our sport, and just as you said, we have athletes that are going into their early 30s, and then goodness sakes, you had Dara Torres racing for. A gold medal when she was 40 years old. So
right.
there are some freaks of nature, so to speak.
No
but
doubt.
For the most part, they're certainly into their 20s.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the young people are concerned, you know, I don't think they really focus much on that. I think they look at it from a standpoint of, my time is going to come. Maybe it's going to come earlier. Maybe I can beat Michael now that he's trying to come back. Or maybe I can beat Ryan. Or maybe the setup is going to be good for me. Or maybe it's going to take me a little bit longer. But they still look at it from a standpoint of it's a year-to-year development. And they also see it from a standpoint of, hey, I still have college to look forward to. I can swim in college. I can be on a scholarship in college. And then if I continue to work my way through it, then I'm going to be a player at some point in time. So it's no different than what do you tell a young tennis player when you got a guy like Nadal or Federer
right.
or Sampras that are controlling things for a while. And it's you just say, hey, every dog has its day, and you just have to compete and compete like you want to compete at the highest level. And at some point in time, it's either going to work or it's not.
Well, and what's great too is because of all the money that is now available to these athletes and the potential for endorsements like Phelps has and Lotke has and his reality television show. I mean, that will draw people and motivate them as well. So that's helping. And speaking of one guy who's clearly motivated by Phelps coming back, that's Ryan Lotke. But, you know, it's so – the world is weird, right? So he's injured in this bizarre accident with a fan where this woman tackles him, and he spends 5 months rehabbing his left knee. Then he competed and experienced pain in the knee recently. What's your outlook for him? I mean, is he going to – I mean, granted, we've got quite a bit of time before those time trials, but that's unfortunate not only for the accident, but then now he's having some setbacks.
Well, his quote to me was after London, it was hard for him to be motivated. He went to short course world championships right after London and did well, set a world record, and then went to the world championships in 2013 and swam pretty well, did a good job as well. But he's just been having a little bit of motivational problems. So he left Florida, went to North Carolina to swim for a different coach, different program.
Right.
And I think was just looking for something to sort of rekindle the fire a little bit.
Yeah,
And then this happens. And since that happened, after those 5 months, he said, "Coach, I'm ready. I'm ready to go." But unfortunately, pressing it in a race, it set him back a little bit, and I don't see the setback hurting him as he works toward Rio, but I do see the setback hurting him as we go toward the Pan Pacific Championships that are at the end of this summer. I don't know if he'll be ready for those.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think the swimming injuries are a little different. I mean, it's not like blowing out a knee in football and trying to come back from that.
Right.
What are the most common injuries? I mean, this is bizarre because this is something separate, but it's like tendonitis in some of the muscles, or I mean, what do you see as the most common injuries that are out there?
Well, in Ryan's case, Ryan tore his MCL, not completely, but he had a tear in it, and then strained his ACL. So they thought with time and with rest, everything was going to be okay, and it looked like things were going pretty well. But then he pushed it, and it's kind of re-injured it. The majority of our kids, the issues that they have are usually with shoulders and sometimes with
right.
knees.
Mm-hmm.
But those are pretty much the two that our kids face. And we've been very fortunate because the technical aspects of our sport have come along so far that most of the problems, if they weren't from a DNA fault, from a genetic issue, they were because of poor technique.
Mm-hmm.
And now most all the kids, they see great technique on a regular basis. They get filmed regularly. They understand the principle and what moves them forward in the water. So our coaches are certainly more educated than at any other time in our history of our sport.
And then that helps reduce the injuries, obviously.
Absolutely.
As the national team director, you have a lot more swimmers, no doubt about this, besides those two guys. Who are you looking forward to watching compete?
Well, we've got some up and coming. Missy Franklin has just been...
Yeah.
What you see with Missy is what you get. You see a personality that's every bit, that doesn't change whether she's on the block or she's back in the team area or she's out walking around.
And for as a coach, you must just love that. That must be just so much fun.
Oh, my gosh. When you have someone that's so that's so gifted and gives so much gratitude for the opportunities. It's just a win-win for everyone.
Yeah.
And then you have Katie Ledecky, this young lady who is just coming up and dominating the sport in the freestyle events. And Nathan Adrian and Matt Grievers. Matt's from Lake Forest and swam with me at after he graduated from Northwestern, made the 08 team, and then got a silver there and a gold in the relay, and then went on to London and picked up some more gold. So he's a great mainstay of the men's team. Some of these people are just Simone Manuel, a young lady in high school that's going to be that was a senior this year, just broke some American records. So she's an awesome swimmer out of Houston, Texas. So we have a lot of young people coming up. We have a lot of veterans returning. It makes for great balance,
mm-hmm.
and that's the kind of, as a coach, as a national team director, you like to see that, because the experience, there's nothing that takes the place of experience. So having those experienced athletes just helps the rookies that much more to adapt to what's happening at the international scene. So I'm in a great place.
That sounds like too much fun. Well, internationally, since you brought it up, what countries or swimmers will give the U.S. the toughest competition?
Well, the Aussies didn't have a great meet in London. They had some issues outside of the pool, but they're regrouping and they're going to be ready for Rio. The Brazilians have a couple of really good swimmers. The Italians have a couple of good swimmers. But overall, the most improvement that's being made in the world right now is happening in China.
Okay.
And in Japan, China and Japan are becoming real forces in our sport.
Wow.
And they will be the teams. Them along with Australia are probably our three biggest rivals.
Interesting. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. But yeah, I know China's making such a push to develop their athletes. So that's pretty interesting. Well, you know, since the last Summer Olympics, in the couple of minutes we got left here, what do you see that has changed with the athletes and their preparation? I mean, it obviously it's becoming so much more professional and so much more fine-tuned with diet and the progression of what they go through.
Andy, the first village that I had the privilege of being in was 2000 in Sydney, and I remember walking around and seeing some phenomenal physiques, male and female. And then in 2004 in Athens, it went up another notch.
Right.
And then in Beijing, it went up another notch. And in London, it went up another notch. And so what you're seeing now is complete fitness focus and building whatever sport you do on that fitness level. It doesn't matter. I mean, look at your golfers. Yes, there are still some overweight golfers that still play good golf. But if you look at the young ones,
right,
most of them are very fit.
Oh yeah.
And if you look at baseball players, you look at everybody. Fitness is a huge factor. Nutrition is something that we're on the cutting edge of nutrition. Even though we think that we're way ahead of the rest of the world, and we're way ahead of everything that's going on. It's, you know, you don't see younger athletes hitting McDonald's and hitting fast food places like maybe you did and I did when we were younger.
No
doubt. It's just the focus is so much different. The technique is so much better. You can go on the internet and pick out anything you want of YouTube and watch it. And the same goes with strength and conditioning. So it's we're just seeing an evolution of fitness, an evolution of education toward what you need to be putting in your body, what's going to make a difference. And then the technical aspects just keep getting better all the time.
Well, I've got 1 minute left. For youngsters and parents out there, what advice do you have for those that are interested in this sport that are coming up? Because I know I swam competitively when I was younger, and my whole family did. And it's changed, obviously, so much from them. But what do you tell parents now that come to you and say, well, we think we've got this great athlete? What's your advice to these type of people?
Well, it's a sport. It's an honest sport. It teaches your children so much about discipline and about working towards something and being in a team atmosphere and you know, it's an honest sport. It's not subjective. It's objective.
Mm-hmm.
You touch the wall, you get a time. It's not something where someone judges whether or not you did something in a certain level. So I just see it as a great sport. And it's the exercise component is second to none.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. All right, Frank, this has been a real treat to have you on today, and we'll get you back on as we get closer to the Olympics, maybe sooner than that, depending on what comes up. But good luck to you as you prepare your team for the 2016 Games.
Well, Andy, thank you very much. This has been an absolute pleasure for me, and I'll look forward to the next time, whenever that may be.
Okay. When we return, folks, we'll have on ESPN's Michelle Steele to talk about all things Aaron Hernandez and the NFL. You're listening to Engage.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.